Page Burners.
Welcome to Page Burners, a bad take on bad literature. I'm Cameron.
I'm Jacob, and this is...
Brianne!
Yeah.
Welcome back, Brianne. You're actually hosting us in your home. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Your sound quality is much better here than it is in my high-vaulted ceiling house.
Well, that's perfect, yes. Then. You're welcome. Planned it.
Yes,
she did. Anyway, we are back with... did we give the tagline?
Bad takes and bad literature?
Yes, we did. Okay, we said that.
Yeah.
Now we did it twice.
We said it twice. Now we're going to learn Game from Rouge V. So...
Finally.
So excited.
Should we give a content warning before we go any further?
Yes, let's give a content warning. This is not for children. There is misogyny in this. Racism in this. This dude is not a good dude. He talks about rape in this one pretty head on, honestly. So there's a lot of trigger warnings there, things that you ought to be sensitive about. Though we're trying to show how bad it is, we're also trying to have fun with it. So if you feel like this is a particularly sensitive topic for you, maybe skip this episode. We'll see you back later.
In case people are, this is your first episode, this is part three that we're doing of this book. This is the, quote, The Best of Rouge, Volume 2, which is a compilation of blog posts that alt-right pickup artist Rouge V posted on his website. And it's not great.
Yeah, very
it
much
is bad.
Not.
Very little about picking up women so far.
Yeah, and generally speaking, even in the chapter that he calls Game, does not have many tips about picking up women.
Okay, is this book just hot takes about how Handmaid's Tale was a great suggestion?
Basically.
There's nothing about how to pick up women.
There's some things, but it's more like... I think we'll get there. I think there's a couple things. But let's define Game, because the first time I read through this chapter, I was like, okay, he just kind of jumps into Game as though I already know what it is. And I was hoping that he would better define it and be like, well, young grasshopper, like, this is Game, and Game is yada, yada, yada.
Game. Game never changes.
Yeah, but Game...
It will never die.
It will never die.
Is what the chapter heading says.
That is correct.
So that's a good start.
So Game is the ability to seduce.
Okay. Sounds about right.
Yep. As many people predicted, I got tired of sleeping with random women.
Did he?
I think the last episode we kind of felt that. But... at the same time, like, it is his cross to bear.
Yeah, you can't feel that bad for him. Yeah.
He was like, woe is me, I'm surrounded by women and stuff like that. Yeah. Whatever. Go on.
Yep, low value. Too low for my standards.
What a waste to be a woman that I don't find attractive.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, that was awful. Exactly.
My dopamine receptors burned out to where I saw no point in duplicating sexual experiences and pursuing notches with sluts. I also began to feel degraded from putting my phallus in so many dirty women whom I have no respect for. I changed...
Maybe don't do that.
Yeah, just don't
just
do that.
Just as a general rule, like, please don't put your phallus into women who you don't respect. Just, like, general PSA for all men out there.
Yeah.
Is it weird that using phallus in that context just makes me more uncomfortable than if he just said penis?
It does for me, too.
Yeah.
Or even if he went one step further. Like, I think dick is less offensive in this.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Dick is casual.
Yeah.
Everyone likes dick.
Not everyone.
Maybe just a little dick.
No. we're not doing this.
Okay. Sorry, Brianne. that is... Unfortunately, that is a larger percent of male humor than we would like to admit. I changed course and eased into a monogamous relationship with a girl who meets my standards and has stronger values. I met my current girl through Approach Game, So for me, to denounce approaching would be the same as wishing my relationship would never have happened. Approach game is a tool that is extremely useful for men who are introverted or lack a robust social circle while living in a large city, i.e. any man who has moved away from his hometown after high school. For this group, knowing how to approach women is just about required to meet a girl on the same socio-attractiveness level as him. This doesn't mean that my past writing is without flaws. If I were to write my game books all over again, I would have two changes. One, focus less on encouraging notch building and, quote, banging, unquote.
That'd be good.
His books are literally bang X, bang Y, bang Z, like location.
Yeah.
So, like, saying, yeah, don't focus on banging when that's literally the, like, the books that you're known for.
Country banger Roosh.
Country banger Roosh.
Gotta bang it with his country banging phallus.
Yeah, the second.
Thanks, I hate it.
Country so banging phallus.
All right, moving on.
Those countries that he has no respect for. Those dirty countries. Goodness. That's terrible. And then two, advise men to stay away from mentally unstable girls. My advice may have pushed men into sleeping with girls who were extremely promiscuous. The problem with this type of female is that they have issues that could cause men a lot of problems, ranging from stalking to false rape accusations. I want to focus more on keeping men out of harm's way.
So, okay, there's this movie called A Promising Young Woman with, I forgot her name. Anyway, there's a scene where she is confronting the man who raped her best friend, or the main girl is confronting the man who raped her best friend. And the man says, being accused of something like this is every man's worst nightmare. And she looks at him and she's like, I wonder what every woman's worst nightmare is. And so I just thought of that with that line of like, yeah, he's going to try and keep men out of harm's way. But like, the harm that men have is a damage to their reputation, not like the physical and emotional damage of actually being assaulted,
yeah,
which is a much more serious and awful thing to have to confront.
Yeah, I also don't like the implication there that it is these promiscuous, mentally unwell individuals that are always throwing out the accusations of rape.
Yeah.
That just invalidates the, you know, any accusation if you just say, well, you know, it's this lady's crazy. You know, they don't know what they're talking about. They sleep with me and then they say I raped them and it's just this big.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people want to believe that rape accusations are false more often than they really are.
Yeah. Yep. Next one.
on that note.
This post is called One Approach a Day. And here he talks about approach game, which he mentioned a little earlier. Essentially, he's split game into the game that you use to keep a woman and the game that you use to get a woman. He does talk a lot more about the game to get a woman, as I doubt he can ever really keep one, in my personal opinion. So essentially he's like, early on, I used to go about, let me just actually read it. For many years, I had a habit of doing 10 approaches when entering a club. It had two benefits. First, the warm-up was built in. I don't know any man who wasn't mentally ready to approach girls with 10 attempts. Second, it gives enough opportunity to allow for success. If you want to get laid, you don't hit upon a solid interaction within 10 approaches. You're either in the wrong place or using the wrong game. This habit does have a couple of downsides. You tend to drink a lot of alcohol, and the following day will be a write-off. It's a decent habit, but not a keystone habit. So getting plastered and talking to a whole ton of women in the bar and getting denied, likely, by all of them as you progressively get more and more drunk, to him, is a decent habit.
It's a decent habit.
It's a good thing. Good way to spend
it's a decent way to
Tuesday.
Now, to be fair, this was the Young Rouge, and he's pointing this out in here. So that's his first kind of understanding of it. Then he goes, in my second Polish trip, so this is his second kind of habit that he got into. In my second Polish trip, I decided a new habit, no day approaches. I would only focus on writing during the day and not be distracted by the flesh. Instead, I went out only one night a week, along with seeing two, quote, buddies on the weekend. My productivity skyrocketed. I never got so much work done before in my life.
What a studious soul.
But my game degraded substantially. So...
The flesh. Distracted by the flesh.
Don't be distracted by the flesh. Have two buddies.
Like, it's that easy.
What a disgusting word as well. I'm sorry.
No, I agree.
I prefer just friends with benefits.
I hate that too, but it's not as bad.
It's a little... after some experimentation, I stumbled on a keystone habit for game. One approach a day sounds easy, right? It's not. Imagine what it would take for you to approach one attractive girl every day. So this is his new approach. This is the one he's recommending in this post. You'd have to put yourself in a public place where there is a wide selection of girls, possibly altering your daily routine in a drastic way. You'd have to maintain your appearance at top levels, can't skip days shaving, and also regulate your mood to be social and positive.
That sounds exhausting. Also, doesn't he have a beard?
He does.
Okay, so he skips days shaving.
This was in 2013. Okay. He was clean shaven in 2013.
I mean, you can still shave if you got a beard.
Just shave the
more
other part.
Trimming.
Well,
yeah.
Well, it's usually his legs, actually, he's talking about here.
Hey, what did
yes,
you
his
do?
Legs. That's the important thing for a pickup artist to have shaved.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing they're going to see as a male person.
Well, here's the thing. You have to show proper grooming. And how you do that is you roll up your pant leg and you show them these baby smooth clean legs.
So like women have their hair, grow their hair to their butts to show
health.
Proper grooming and health. But mm-hmm. That's what men do is they have to show, like dramatically show their leg. Like when you know, in like movies, when
oh,
leg
like
just
the, like this, like the slit down the, yes. The dress and it just kind of, yeah.
Yes.
Kind of like a Jessica Rabbit.
That's what I've always liked.
Smooth jazz starts playing as you roll up your jeans.
I like it. Hey, everyone's got their thing.
Excellent. Whatever. You know what, Rouge? That's a good approach.
I like it. No kink shaming here.
You'd have to get comfortable with day approaching. That's his last little bit.
So is approaching just like meet someone at a bar and do a pickup
like
line?
The first approach to talking to them?
Does he have like a, does he like hand out business cards in the park? Like
Yes.
I assume so. I think if you have a sales background and you've done approaches blind, like basically blind out of the blue approaches.
Cold contact.
Those are, yeah, cold contact, you know, contacting of any sorts. That is very, very stressful. But he suggests one a day. So his favorite benefit to this is, quote, that I'm always on. One approach a day is just enough so that if I see a girl I like, there's no mental fight to do the approach. There's no barrier I have to overcome. No self-doubt that tells me to wuss out. I've forgotten how it's like to be rusty.
This is making... I'm introverted, and I hate this.
And yeah. I'm stressed.
I hate this, too. I don't like the term, I'm always on. I feel like that's, like...
Hey, baby, can you please turn me off? I'm very stressed.
It feels disingenuous also.
It does.
Like, you're just, like, faking it all the time.
Yeah, like...
Sounds exhausting.
Yeah.
Does that mean, if he's always on, does that mean nothing turns him on?
Yes. That sounds terrible. Or everything turns him on.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah, that is worse.
That is worse.
Yeah.
How can you do anything else?
I think this next one is probably my favorite bit in the game. I'm going to read it to you slightly edited, but the original one is 7 stages of being a player. If you slightly edit it, it's the 6 stages of being an incel.
Incel is the most perfect word that we haven't stated on this podcast yet.
I don't know that word.
Cameron?
It's one of those things. Oh man, I know what it means, but it's hard to describe. It's basically those people who are constantly like trying to get women, but then complaining that women don't like them because they're jerks.
Uh-huh. Involuntary celibate.
Yeah, involuntary celibate.
Oh, involuntary celibate. Okay, all right.
So that's what an incel is. So I'm going to read all these. There's one line in number 4 that I'll scratch off, and I'll skip number 5. But other than that, these are the headers of the 6 stages of being an incel. Denial. Game doesn't work. It's the deliberate manipulation of women. I don't want to peacock or nag a woman.
Thanks.
That feels like acceptance to me.
Yeah. But here's the thing.
He calls
it denial. He's probably still calling it denial. It's like, oh yeah, you're in denial. Yeah, whatever. Move on.
Anger. Why does she like that stupid jerk more than me? Am I that bad? I do everything to please her, but she doesn't like me?
Yeah, this is so far very incel.
3. Bargaining. If I can't buy one more thoughtful gift or do her one more special favor, she will fall in love with me, and I can just be myself. I only want one wonderful girl.
If only I could donate more money to her Twitch stream.
Yep.
The problem with that is that, like, if you do things for a girl, that does not mean that she is automatically obligated to give you anything. Like, if you're doing that without her having ever asked, like, she doesn't owe you that.
Yeah.
She doesn't owe you anything.
And you shouldn't be giving her things expecting reciprocity. If you give, it should be out of, you know, kindness, appreciation, love.
Yeah.
And you, like, I understand it sucks when that's not reciprocated. And if you're looking for a reciprocating relationship, then...
But that's, like, that's how life works. Like, yeah. You can't make anyone have a feeling, and you can't expect someone to act like they do when they don't.
I showed you my phallus. Please respond.
We'll never respond.
Cameron, I am not responding. That has never happened, listeners. That has never happened.
Let me clear the air there.
That was a joke.
For legal reasons.
For legal reasons, that is a joke. 4, depression. This is one where I scratched like one word out and it works. No girl will ever love me. I may never have sex. Why is it so hard to meet a pretty girl?
What did you scratch out there?
He said, I may never have sex again.
Okay.
Yep.
That'll do it.
I'm skipping number 5 here. I'll come back to it afterwards. But the number 5 that would be of being an incel is fatigue. I'm bored of women. They're too much work. All women are like that.
And all women are like that.
Yes, he
all
used that earlier.
All women are like that. Where does that sound familiar?
Yep. Uh-huh. And that's a thought that he promotes.
He's saying it was a bad thing to say all men are like that. Well, it's a terrible acronym that I just created that everybody says, all men are like that, AWOLT. And yet he literally says all women are like that without an ounce of...
Like sarcasm. Irony, yeah. Yeah. Number 6 of being an incel, acceptance. Women can't give me happiness. They're just a temporary and fleeting side dish to a well-balanced masculine life.
Oh, that's what we are, huh?
A side dish. That's...
I resent that. I do resent that.
Do you guys want to hear the one I skipped? And this... but yeah, this is how similar being an incel is to being a player. Number 5 is success. I don't believe this works. I want to bang 100 girls. So
he lays out all of this, and so he adds success to the 5 stages of grief, essentially.
Yeah.
Which is not... Can you imagine if that happened in real life? In regular psychological grief, you just lost a parent, you go through all the 5 stages of grief, and then in the end, just suddenly you see, like, a glowing from the urn on your nightstand.
Yes.
And just, like, boom, grandma's back.
That would be awesome.
Oh, man.
You did it. You succeeded. You got through the 5 stages of grief. You are worthy to have a grandmother. Back.
You've received success.
I
want to bang 100 girls.
Now you get 100 grandmothers that will all make you cookies.
Yeah. So, but like, am I wrong? Like, is it? Am I overstretching that, or does like everything here sound like
it all sounds like an incel? Yeah.
Right. Like.
Oh man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not much more to say to that.
All right. 9 ways game has changed from 2001 to 2018. I'm going to read the headers here. Skip through these. I'm going to skip the boring ones because some of these are like hardly a point, or like he makes the same point twice, which is pretty useless. In which case, you could have made this 8 or 7. Like, just get an editor. Get an editor, man.
Pick a plot line.
Yeah.
I feel like just get an editor is what you could put on every single book we read.
Yeah. Number 1 way game has changed from 2001 to 2018. Boldness created greater attraction. And so he sets the premise that that's how it was. Nowadays, a girl is approached so often in different types of venues and on the internet that the most direct of openers may give you a minute of her attention, if that. So, number 2, rejections were softer. So then it was softer. Nowadays, girls with fragile egos have the intention of harshly rejecting men because it's a way they can feel more beautiful than they really are.
It's just actually a kind of an attempt to get power back a little bit.
Or she's just simply not interested.
Yeah. Also that.
That's valid in and of itself.
For sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Exactly.
We feel so like chased all the time, or like, yeah, like women in those scenarios, especially like in bars and things, feel so chased all the time that like they do want a little bit, like we often do like a little bit of power back to be like, no, I can make these decisions, and if I say no, I mean no.
Yeah.
We're getting tired of being nice about it, because when we're nice about it, we don't get listened to.
This one will get, yeah. Girls were thinner back then.
Okay.
While there are enough thin women around in the big cities today, they get an overabundance of attention simply for being overweight.
What does that mean? Overabundance of attention for being overweight?
Yep.
Like...
Oh, my bad. For not being overweight.
For not being overweight.
I was like, I'm confused.
But didn't he specifically say that all women needed to...
Should be skinny.
Weight? Yeah.
Yeah, and should lose that.
So he says that that's how women should be, and now he's upset that there are too many underweight women?
Well, it's that the underweight women are given too much respect and too much, like, attention.
Too much respect.
For being... Underweight.
Yeah, it's not a really big challenge to get thin. Don't you know, Cameron?
Man, Rush V is all about body image, didn't you know? It's the most important
body
thing.
Body positivity, yeah.
But thank you. Body positivity, that's where I meant to make my joke go.
He complains about smartphones and how it's tougher because people want to look at their phones. And he's like, oh, these girls, they just want Instagram fame. And I'm just like... Okay.
You've got a website, bro.
Yeah.
You wrote books.
Number
you
seven.
You also want that Instagram.
Egotistical yeah. books.
Definitely. Girls have an empty... my bad. Girls had an empty penis pipeline.
Thanks, I hate it.
Yeah, right.
Empty penis pipeline.
There's no reason for such a thing other than being a pipeline for the penis.
Is that like...
We also give birth through there.
Yeah.
That's how he's describing a vagina.
Yeah.
Is an empty penis pipeline.
Yep. Yeah. Well, only if it's a virgin. Because nowadays, not only do girls have full penis pipelines, but their bench is so full of backups waiting to get even the main rotation.
He knows it doesn't stay in there afterwards. Right?
Yeah.
Like, but it does empty out again.
No, the pipelines are full. Another thing here is that he's like, oh yeah, not only are they sleeping around a ton, but get this. They've got people on retainer. They've got buddies.
Oh, where have I heard that before?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
They got people waiting on the bench.
Like he was literally talking about having himself.
How dare these mm-hmm. people go out and attempt to sleep around with someone and then also have a side piece or two?
Yeah, that's... Okay. Double standard.
Girls weren't as sensitive, and he says, nowadays, you can't joke, especially in big cities. I repeat, you cannot joke.
Not his kind of jokes.
I actually take issue with the statement, like the old man statement, like, aha, you can't even joke about race or this or that. If you've ever watched an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, like, that's the way that you make fun of these topics. You make fun of the absurdity of these characters that actually, like, are so egotistical and, like, racist. And they're the worst people. And the way you make that comedic is that you show everyone, like, the absurdity of those beliefs and the paths that they will go to enforce such things.
Rather than leaning into the actual stereotypes for the humor.
A little exactly. bit like the, it's like Borat. Because the thing with Borat was he goes, like, he's in character, but no one else is.
Yeah.
Everybody he's talking to think, or at least most of them, think he's a legitimately an immigrant in America trying to learn about America from some southern hillbillies and racist people.
And he himself is deeply troubled and racist as well.
Yeah, and so all the racists feel like a kinship with this guy, when in reality, he's trying to make a movie about how stupid America is.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to move along to this next one. Nothing of value there. I shouldn't say nothing of value there.
There's nothing of value in
really,
this book.
Really, that's...
I mean, yeah. you've yet to say anything of value for our lives.
From reading this book. Not you as a person.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
You have value.
Yeah, no, you say things of value as a human, but as a person reading this book, no.
Thank you. I needed to hear that. I needed to hear that. Thank you, guys.
I'm actually really nice when you get to know me.
Oh. If only girls would get to know me, they would... They'd know I'm so nice.
So nice.
Oh, my goodness. So, if you love double standards, here's the big one here. What I've learned about women from my long-term relationships. One, they lie a lot. For example, imagine a girl asking her man what he did during the day. He replies, I ran into a girl I knew today, and we had a cup of tea. He was walking, and then, out of quote,
I had a cup of tea with the girls.
Yep. He went walking home from work, suddenly recognized a girl he went to college with, popped into the cafe to talk about old friends for 20 minutes, and then gave her a handshake goodbye without any suggestive touching or flirting. Now, so, well, you got that image in your mind? Mm-hmm. That's what the guy did. Now imagine a man asking a girl the same question. She re- replies, I ran into a guy I knew today and we had a cup of tea. The event happened in the same way as a man, right? Wrong. What actually happened was an old flame contacted her on Facebook.
This is all so hypothetical.
Yeah, this is still hypothetical.
Just making up both of these scenarios.
They exchanged several dozen suggestive messages that included kiss emoticons. He asked her to meet at a specific time in front of a cafe. They went inside and talked for 2 hours. Their legs touched beneath the table. They reminisced about a past drunken hookup. They went for a walk to a nearby lake where more incidental touching happened.
There are a lot of assumptions going on here. Finally,
they said goodbye, with the sky failing to get a lip kiss and having to settle for a playful grab of her ass.
That just sounds like you're trying to make a... That really just sounds like a saucy novelization of a scene in a movie that took a minute.
Yeah, he's just making crap up.
Yeah, legitimately, whenever a guy says that, there's always innocent intentions behind whatever happened. There's no need to assume. But when it's a woman, you always have to assume the worst.
Yeah.
And what is it? And so he just makes this up.
You can't even make a point when you're making stuff up like this.
It's okay. All women are like
no.
And he then says, you should ask the following questions. How exactly do you know this guy? Did you hook up with him in the past? How long were you at the cafe? Did he try to touch you? Where did you go after the cafe? What exactly did you talk about? How did he say goodbye to you?
This is a perfect way to make sure that your girlfriend does not trust you, because she knows that you do not trust her.
Yeah, you're just...
This is the perfect way to close down any open dialogue you might have had.
This guy must have the most toxic relationships.
Oh, I feel so bad for every woman who's ever dated him.
It's so controlling and, manipulative.
It's so controlling and manipulative.
I mean, it sounds like he's failed enough times at relationships that most women see through that pretty easily and then reject him. And then he's like, oh, man, women still gotta stop rejecting me because it's not hot.
Yes.
The rest of this, he says, women are energy vampires or time vampires in two different ways. He also says they're unable to perceive their own hypocrisy.
Just pause on that for a second. You don't have to say anything about that. Just pause on that and think about it for 2 seconds.
Women are unable to
context
to determine or see their own hypocrisy.
Yep.
All right. We thought about it and we can move on.
It also apparently takes a village to keep a woman monogamous. So.
Wait a second.
Yep. Would you like me to read a little part of this one, or do you have stuff to say
here? No. This speaks for itself. Go ahead.
I've learned that having game is not only half the component to maintaining a healthy relationship. The other half is having her in an environment that tells her to cherish her man, be faithful, have children, otherwise you will lose. We're all products of our environment, whether we want to admit it or not.
Keep her in that closet.
But this impacts women even more because they operate on the consensus of others.
Yeah. Women are notoriously bad at thinking for themselves. Yeah. Yeah.
You operate on my wavelength.
I don't, though. I find that very...
You're not an...
Very offensive that he feels this way about women. Women are just products of their environment.
Yeah.
There's nothing, individual to them. They can't think for themselves. Yeah. Just whatever is around is what they're going to be.
There's no independence in what you do or say.
He's been advocating for no independence for women, actually, lately. But, it's fine.
It's just a return to nature. Skipping. Sex. I'm gonna skip through a lot of this, but...
I'm gonna skip the sex?
Please. Trust me.
Please.
I'll briefly go over...
We've read all of Sonic High School, man. Come on.
Okay.
What do we got?
He does not give sex advice in this, to be clear. And the second post in this...
Nothing about how to fill the pipeline?
So the first post that he puts here is how to stop rape.
Oh, no.
And he...
His solution to stopping rape is probably just going to be like, women, don't reject us, and then we won't rape you because it'll be consensual.
So
taps see? Head.
He says, the following article was published as a satirical thought experiment. I feel like that is an after text, and this
after
was...
After getting a lot of complaints.
It was just a joke, guys.
But in case you
experiment on rape,
I want to trash any of your hopes for thinking that he's going to give good sex advice with the title of the second post, which we will get to. The female orgasm is trivial.
Rude.
So just so you're aware, Cameron, for a man who has
at least
made his entire life about getting sex, he has little to say on the subject of sex.
It's about his orgasm, not his partner's orgasm.
We'll get to that.
All right. At least he recognizes.
Yeah.
Like, wasn't there a politician recently that was like... No, I think it was Ben Shapiro. Yeah, Ben Shapiro was going on about how there's, like, the female orgasm isn't real because he's never seen it before. He was going on Twitter about that.
No yeah. way. Ben, your poor wife. I'm sure you have kids. And you're... Oh, that poor woman. Goodness.
Maybe it's not important to her? Question mark?
Hopefully. Well, if it is, Ben, find a good book, maybe. Anyway. So on this, he's describing the issue... I saw women wholly unconcerned. This is from How to Stop Rape. I saw women wholly unconcerned with their own safety and the character of men they developed intimate relationships with. I saw women who voluntarily numbed themselves with alcohol and other drugs in social settings before letting the direction of the night's wind determine who they would follow into a private room. So basic, blaming the victim.
Absolutely, that is what's happening. Yep.
I thought about this problem, and I'm sure I have the solution.
Oh, good. Let's hear it.
It's a modest
proposal. Make rape legal if done on private property.
No.
I propose that we make the violent taking of women not punishable by law when done in public grounds.
Wait, I thought you said private property was...
Yeah, so essentially he's saying here...
So you can kidnap them in public and you can rape them in private.
Yep.
Is what he's saying.
Don't rape them in an alleyway.
But you can kidnap them in an alleyway.
You can bring them home non-consensually... And it's on private property.
And once you're there. That's horrifying. Yeah. This man should be imprisoned.
Yeah, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's horrifying. Okay. How does he think that this is going to
eat
stop?
Eat the babies.
Rape?
Yeah, eat the babies.
Yeah.
That's actually a good satire, actually. I really like that one.
I agree.
That one's solid. I forget where that one's...
The Modest Proposal.
Yeah, that's it. A Modest Proposal. Which is a hilarious name for...
Oh, it for sure is.
I don't know about you guys, but when I first read that in high school, it was... We got absolutely no warning of what was about to happen.
I think that's kind of the point.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, like it's supposed to startle you.
It was basically like... We're all just... You know, you read the first two pages or something like, I'm 14.
Irish potato famine.
And then suddenly it's like, what if we eat the children? And what?
I'm sorry. What?
Hold up.
I fell asleep for like 30 seconds and all of a sudden we're talking about eating babies?
And then suddenly 14 or 15 year old me is interested in satire.
Right.
So how he thinks this will help fix the issue. If rape becomes legal under my proposal, a girl will protect her body in the same manner that she protects her purse and smartphone. If rape becomes legal, a girl will not enter an impaired state of mind where she can't resist being dragged off to a bedroom with a man who she is unsure of.
So it is women's responsibility not to be raped. Men have no responsibility for not being rapists?
Correct.
Okay.
Also,
he's...
want to make sure I'm on the same page.
Also, may I also point out that he's suggesting that if it's on private property, rape is only occurring because they're getting drunk.
Yeah, like, I know of many women who have tried to protect themselves the way that he's saying that women actually only protect their smartphones and have still gotten raped.
Yeah, you can be very, very, very cautious and then
it
just be
still
put,
happen to you.
Yeah, and still have it happen to you and be put in a bad position, not of your will or consent.
Yeah.
There's so much that can go wrong.
It happens a lot.
Yeah.
To women who are very sober and very consciously trying to protect themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not a question of us not taking our safety seriously enough.
Yeah.
It is a question of y'all need to stop being rapists.
Yeah.
Okay. Get water real quick.
So the female orgasm is... Sorry.
Wait, that was a weird place to cut.
It was.
Okay, that was a good drink of water. Now tell me more about the female orgasm.
Yeah, so the female orgasm is trivial. There is nothing more meaningless nor superfluous in the world than the female orgasm.
Oh, wait, hold up. So is
I
this,
don't feel like women would feel that way.
Is this still in the section that's being dubbed satire?
No, this is outside the dubbed satire.
Okay,
one.
So
and it is my opinion that that satire label was put on there later rather than like at the time of writing and publishing. But yeah, biologically, it is an accident of evolution. Whether a female has an orgasm or not does not affect her ability to become impregnated by a man's seed, which is ejected only when he has an orgasm.
I mean, I guess that is true, but I would venture to say that a lot of women would not feel like female orgasm is trivial and meaningless.
Yeah, but your pleasure and whatnot is irrelevant. It's
well, that's rude.
We just got to get ours, and that's it.
But we're the ones who have to pay the biggest price for having sex because we have to give birth to a child and then raise that child for 18 years. So I think that we deserve to be able to find some joy in the process as well. I'm just saying.
The more he talks about all this stuff about fertility and whatnot, it really makes me more uncomfortable because he's a pickup artist. He's trying to teach you how to get as many women as possible. And he himself admits that he sleeps around even more than he likes. But his whole thing is about how you need to impregnate women.
Yeah.
I think he would freak out if he realized that he had impregnated any of these women that he is sleeping with.
I bet he has been contacted by someone.
For legal reasons, we do not know.
Yeah.
Yes. But a bet and a wager, I think, is
will
perfectly league well. He continues, in fact, being able to give a woman an orgasm is more of a curse than a blessing. She looks forward to the sex act, not as a way to please you.
How dare she want to do anything for her own fulfillment and joy.
As easy as that may be, but as a means for her to her pleasure alone. Her expectations rise at your expense, while she forgets that you like orgasms too. Recently,
poor guy. Recently, so sad for him.
The transatlantic accent while you're talking about sex,
like
really, really misogynist stuff about sex. Yeah. That's primo.
It really fits, right? It's so backwards and like
yes, the female orgasm.
Should it exist?
It is trivial in every sense as the fertility of women and is not impacted by the orgasm. It's like what the crap.
I am going to go ahead and read this last little section. Mm. We're going to skip through some other ones, but I find this part particularly, recently I was having sex with a Polish girl who was experiencing some discomfort. A moment of weakness entered my brain, and I asked her, "Do you want me to stop?" She quickly...
Moment of weakness.
Yeah, that is a weakness.
It's called a moment of, like, compassion.
I am hurting
respect.
This person. Is this weakness if I ask her if she's okay?
Yes.
think that's like the most human thing that you could do if you are having sex and realizing that the other person is experiencing discomfort, is to ask them, hey, you okay? Am I hurting you? Would you like me to stop? I think that is very respectable.
Rouge, that was a very respectable thing for you to do.
But consent, you just...
It was not a moment of weakness. Please don't make people feel like that's weakness.
Please show me he doesn't ruin this.
She quickly corrected my error, saying, no, I want you to finish. And finish I did, without providing her any pleasure except the emotional satisfaction of submitting to a man she's attracted to.
I don't find that emotionally satisfying.
Her opinion of me didn't change.
It's consent. Okay, I'll give that to the situation. Some people like it if it hurts, and that's okay if they're consenting. Yeah, whatever, I'm fine with that. Totally fine with that.
But drawing the conclusion.
But that... That's his takeaway, is that she just wanted him to, I don't like this.
It's really not okay.
I don't like this.
No, yeah. It's really not okay.
I'm gonna skip sex has become an obsession. It's just kind of sad whining about.
Sounds like we've heard it before, yeah.
Yeah. Junk food sex.
I'd rather have junk food.
Yep. So, for a long time, I've been having casual sex with women I do not emotionally care for, at least once a week. Indigestion was never a problem, but over the past couple of years, I've become feeling negative effects after sex with women. I don't have feelings for, and it's making me want to avoid it, just like I avoid McDonald's. It's just like, oh, it's kind of like, this is a part of his life in which he's like, feeling kind of disgusted with himself about having a weekly promiscuous, which
I think we're kind of disgusted kind of
by him too.
Yeah. Like, good to know he's starting to feel it.
Yeah. There's enough of things like that. Where the only issue I would take with this chapter is that a lot of the times he's more describing the quality of the woman being the low quality junk food rather than the nasty habit itself. So, but yeah, that is the end of the sex chapter.
Not cool to compare women to junk food or just to food. Really. It's not, I'm uncomfortable with that.
Yeah.
Anyone want some better than sex cake?
Yes. That's freaking delicious. Have you ever had that? It's incredible.
It is
incredible.
That's all I can think about with the whole junk food sex comparison is better than sex.
I haven't had that in so long, and now I want that.
Yeah, but
which is totally a thing that other people would say about sex, and I'm thinking about cake.
That is all he wrote about sex. So, no sex tips other than don't ask if she wants to stop if she's experiencing discomfort. And that's basically all the takeaway.
Public service announcement. Please do ask if you notice that they're uncomfortable. If they actually aren't and they want you to keep going, then that's okay. That's fine. But please do ask.
Yeah, consent. Consent.
Respect.
Respect.
End of speech.
Life, which is a very broad thing. He rambles in the vast majority of these. I'm going to...
Rapid fire. Let's go. Yeah. Go. Go.
5 steps of realizing the truth. Being a player who sleeps with a large number of women. Sorry. Life. 5 steps of realizing truth. Every man who arrives at truth does so at different paths. How you have come to understand the real nature of the world is different from how I did. But there are certain behaviors and actions which lend to truth discovery. Here are 5.
Now he's a philosopher.
Yeah, here are 5 things that lead to truth. The first one being, being a player who sleeps with a large number of women leads to truth. Isn't that funny how that works?
The source of truth.
Sleeping with a ton of women.
It's the way of enlightenment. It's how Buddha taught.
I hope not.
To be fair, actually, if you do read Siddhartha, he does have one of his big epiphanies from a similar experience.
Interesting.
End of speech.
Postcoital bliss. Postcoital epiphany.
It's actually like postcoital epiphany, but in a negative way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's very interesting. Anyway.
Second route to truth. Living in a totalitarian society.
Pass.
Third, being persecuted by the establishment.
Source of truth?
I mean, that is a way that you could come to understand some truth, yeah. I mean, it's an unfortunate way to have to, but it can have that effect, I would assume.
A little bit from that. If you are being targeted or punished for a behavior that should be legal, you have been put on the fast track to truth. So that implies that he feels that there are some actions that he takes that should be legal, but just aren't.
He cuts the tags off his mattresses he for does. Certain.
Yeah. Most definitely. He goes through so many mattresses. We know he does it. Adopting a minimalist lifestyle, traveling off the beaten path. And those are the ways to find truth. Some of them, I guess, in like, I think going through minimalist, like you're finding what you really want in that. You're shedding away everything else.
Yeah, you can find a lot of truth that way. You can also find a lot of truth by traveling off the beaten path, experiencing different kinds of people and different kinds of lifestyles.
Yeah. Reading a book.
Those are valid.
So there are some valid things on here, but I find the more I like dig into why he thinks that point is, the more I'm like, no.
It was valid for a second, and then you had to go and explain yourself and completely invalidate
it. Pretty much. You talk yourself out of every good point.
Yeah, it's like if historically we both agreed that World War II is fascinating and I had a very skewed reason for thinking World War II was fascinating. But yeah, like you can agree on kind of a truth or a source, but for vastly different reasons. And if your reasons are wrong, I'd like, man, yeah, it's bad. Honestly, life is just, this entire kind of chapter is almost very, very milquetoast. Like, it's just, there's no really punchy, snappy bits in here. Like, even, I remember even reading this spot. So, this title of this post is As the Pussy Turns. But, like, there's nothing, like, exciting or really noteworthy here. Besides this one section, which I think has murder vibes. As for my problem, it's unsolvable. Women are declining while experience increases my standards and decreases my propensity to work for the same old result. I'm disappointed, to say the least. I have completely run out of options to feed the pleasing neurological release in my dealings with women. If I'm smart, I'll just focus on my work, on making a difference for other men, because I've long since passed the point of diminishing returns in which I can get enjoyment from women that is greater than what I received in the near past. I will not approach a woman today. I shall wait until my desire to have sex is so great, so distracting, and so illogical that I don't care how much effort I must apply in order to get laid.
That's the only reason to approach or talk to women anyway, right?
Yep. Just get desperate enough that you'll do anything to get laid.
Yeah, I will not talk to a woman until I want to have sex that bad. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you're going to have a really hard time going through life without talking to women. I'm just going to say.
I feel like
we're everywhere, as it turns out.
I feel like Roosh would have been happier if he was gay.
Yeah. It'd be really weird to find, like, misogynist gays. I'm sure they exist.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The next little bit, he talks about why you need Jesus and only Jesus, or basically you need religion, and don't try to make it up on your own. Which
he definitely has the vibe of a very pious religious person.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Doesn't he himself say he doesn't go to, he isn't part of any church circles?
He isn't. But
but he has a whole chapter about,
I think it's more about appealing to his base.
Okay.
Yeah.
If anything. Makes sense. Beware of goals with numbers. As like someone with a sales background, numbers get really annoying real quickly. Like,
I've sold 250 cars.
It also just like reduces people to a tally mark, which is not awesome. Because not people, there's a lot more to people than that.
In this one, he suggests like maybe sometimes the goal is just reading a book or spending time with family, writing down some thoughts, which I think is a very healthy approach. I think this one is actually decent. I could go through the points that I disagree with, but it's not worth my time on this podcast. But know that there are healthy ways to go ahead and manage your life, and sometimes numbers are not the right way.
Agreed.
Purity challenge. This one, he talks about how you should sometimes just fast from alcohol and sex, and that is a good thing.
I've been doing that my whole life.
That is a good thing.
I'm a fan, actually.
It works.
Yeah, it's worked for me.
Good, good, good. He has this one little section next. I'm literally skipping through so many pages. Yeah. You're probably hearing this on the podcast, but it's literally like it's so very milquetoast. And every now and then you come across something that's like, oh yeah, this dude's horrible, but it's like in a section of something that's very unentertaining. Has an entire little post called Playing in the Rain, which is more like an attempt at like an art piece of art and creative writing than anything, but it comes off as very pretentious, derivative, and it's just not good.
It's just not good.
Like there's not even an entertaining spot to really make fun of. Like,
it's just not interesting.
Yeah, like I'll read a section for you. Many people looked at me intently. They seemed to ask, what is he doing? I recognized the look because it was the same one I gave the little girl. In this story, a little girl was out in the rain dancing, splashing in puddles, and now he's doing the same thing.
It's fun. That's why.
A bewilderment, maybe even confusion that someone is not doing what you're supposed to do. So it's like he's like this liberating thing of going out in the rain, but he's like over extreming like the idea that there's this big opposition of not going into the rain and enjoying it, which is silly and scapegoating. Runaway Train, which is just about basically him going on his life path of sleeping around and being a vagabond, essentially. His life, for someone who has traveled a lot, this chapter is the most boring, dry thing I've read from him. And keep in mind, I would prefer an entire book of that to him putting out anything of the misogyny.
All the monstrosity that we've read up to this point.
We're nearly getting up. We're going to do this last chapter, chapter 7, and then that's going to be it for today. But this one's titled Masculinity, and I've put a subtitle to this chapter, which is, Why Won't They Let Men Be Men?
Oh.
Good.
The War Against Men. What are the most common feminist beliefs in America? There are three. Men and women are equal, but the patriarchy still favors men in all areas of life. If a woman fares poorly in something, it is due to the structural imbalances of the society or outright discrimination. 2. Any criticism of American women by a man makes him sexist, misogynistic, and a sex tourist. Any mistake or wrong by a woman can be traced to the fault of men. 3.
It's not what feminists believe, but okay.
It definitely isn't. 3. It's like, I'm putting on the old-timey, like, North Atlantic.
Transatlantic
accent here again. Because I feel like this is the same kind of crap they do for, like, any kind of weird war propaganda or something.
The war against men.
Yep.
The war... Sequel to The War on Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
3. A woman does not peak with her beauty. She peaks with her intellect and experience, which means that she must spend her youth educating herself with liberal arts degrees to eventually trade her labor for money. In the meantime, she will become a mature woman, a mature human being by having sex with any man who excites her. Those are the three tenets of
feminism.
Of feminism. Yeah. I didn't know if you knew that.
I learned them wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. That's him. So, like, he literally just sets up, like, these straw men arguments and then just, you know.
It tears down those arguments that were never the ones that were being made.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Checkmate, feminists.
It does.
We're like, well, that wasn't, we never said any of those things.
Yep. Next part's called The Death of Male Authenticity. In more ancient times, relationships were more different than they than what we experience now. Back then, when a woman valued a man's resources for her own survival, the man could more or less be himself, since there are fewer options for her to walk away into the arms of another man. He acted the opposite of what we have today, where most men apply a filter to their natural impulses in order to keep their woman in a permanent state of being attracted.
So the way to help women be happy is to take away their options.
Yeah. Here's the thing. The fact that you have choices actually oppresses me. If I'm your only choice, then great, I'm happy. But the fact that you have choices and can choose not to be with me is actually an oppression and an offense on me, because now I don't have you.
Sorry,
you see,
about that.
I had the right to have sex with anybody I wanted.
Until you took that right away from me.
Yeah, now you're saying no, and I feel my rights are being violated.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not sorry.
So, men cannot be authentic anymore because we're too afraid of women leaving us.
I would like to know what you were authentically being if you're that afraid of women leaving because of your authentic self.
Yeah,
what were you authentically being like?
I think we all know his authentic thoughts. Man. In this section titled Western Men Are Becoming Evolutionary Dead Ends, the progression of man was clear a few generations ago. Got school, work, marry a virgin, or a girl with less than 5 previous partners.
That is arbitrary.
Yeah, very arbitrary. Babies, worship God, and death. There was no confusion about what a man should do because the path was laid out and urged onto him by his tribe, family, and culture, built on tradition or religious ideals. But something happened in the years since where the progression became this. This is the world we live in now. School, work, those have stayed the same. Consume corporate products. Marry aging slut with notched count over 20.
Yikes.
Babies, if wife wasn't made infertile by repeating gonorrhea infections. Worship.
I just want to say that men also get STDs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Worship Blimposaurus wife and death.
Wow. Worship the Blimposaurus wife.
Yikes.
Yep. Yep, there is no god, just fat women.
Just the Blimposaurus wife.
Yep.
That's gross.
Very gross. So, yep. Male sex drive being manipulated. That one's just like, you know, it's really not porn that's the problem. It's that
I don't like where this is going.
Women are in porn? Is that where that's going?
No. Porn isn't so much as a problem, but watching porn can actually increase. This is him saying this. Watching porn can actually increase your perceived need for sex, but there is something much more ordinary that is tempting you every day: the sight of female skin.
Am I supposed to be sorry that we exist? Like, is that what he's?
The
going?
Fact that you have skin is sinful. So-
If you were to take...
The fact that you see females with skin is more of a problem than pornography. Like, I exist, and I'm going to be out of my house.
The fact that it's just so casual that you exist is the real problem. Skin.
It's everywhere. I find that offensive. That is oppressive to me as a man, that you are a female with skin who walks around outside of her house sometimes.
Yep.
He should go in the Middle East.
Yep.
Something.
Yeah, his next book should be, like, attempt to bang Iran or something. I don't know.
Yeah, see how that
bang
goes.
Bang Iran before Iran bangs you.
I don't know. The Alpha Provider. Now, this one is a whole mess of weird, like, zigging and zagging lines, often political. Like, he has this thing called the Resistance Pyramid, which is basically, like, the levels that you need to have to eventually get to, quote, a local resistance and self-defense. So, like, the basis of a society that they need to have a strong, defensible militia that they are defending a specific ideal.
I feel like that came out of left field.
Yeah, that's very alt-right insurrectionist kind of.
It has nothing to do with any of the rest of this book.
It has everything to do with masculinity, which is the chapter that he's in.
His masculinity equals violence. Got it.
Yep. Starts with individual improvement, then financial resilience, global information warfare, tribal organization, and then finally local resistance and self-defense. So
we just like reinvented Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yeah, in a really dumb alt-right way.
That like doesn't even make sense linearly.
Yeah. The funnier thing is that on the next page he has this picture where the hierarchy of needs has become the tip of a spear. So
I do like that.
This is pretty dang hilarious.
That might be my favorite thing in this book.
Yeah, so it's this dude about to throw a spear, and the hierarchy of needs that he laid out on the previous page
is the spear.
Is the spear tip.
It's like the armor of God, but much worse.
Attack him.
He's like, what's the most manly thing I can do with this? Make it a weapon. I'm going to make it a weapon.
It's so weird. The last bit, I might just read this entire last bit, but after this, it's chapter 8. But this last post is almost less than a page, and it's titled, Congratulations to the Man.
If we're reading the entire page, can I read it?
Cameron, yes.
I'm interested. Congratulations to the man. November 6, 2017. Congratulations to the man who has been persecuted by the powerful, for he has found truth. Is this going to be the Beatitudes?
Go for it.
Congratulations to the man who has found the deepest love and then lost it, for he has learned that nothing is permanent. Congratulations to the man who stays up at night wondering about the meaning of life, for he has achieved material comfort. Congratulations to the man who can't get along with those in his generation, for he is able to think for himself. Congratulations to the man who has held a dying person in his arms, for now he can live without delusion. Congratulations to the man. How did they die?
How did they die, Rouge? How did they die?
Congratulations to the man who got beat up in a fist fight, for he knows he is not made out of glass. Congratulations to the man who has thought of killing someone, for he is connected to his primal nature.
I don't know if that's great.
I love these new Beatitudes.
If you put that one before the other one, it changes everything.
I like Jesus's better. I just wanted to say.
Congratulations to the man who was stabbed in the back by a... I know what he means, but just right after the whole killing someone thing.
Yeah. You can rearrange these into a very clear story. This is the Zodiac killer's way of confessing to a murder. Yeah.
Oh. Okay, keep going.
Congratulations to the man who feels utterly alone in the world, for he is about to hear a knock on his door. And then the stabbing, and then the...
Keep going.
Congratulations to the man who has been publicly humiliated, for he can finally take off the actor's mask. Congratulations to the man who hates the sight of a girl he just slept with, for he knows what love is not. That's terrible. Congratulations to the man who traveled too far down the wrong road, for he is steps away from the righteous path. It's not how it works. Congratulations to the man who wishes he could live in another era, for he has enough hope to see tomorrow.
Not necessarily.
I don't get it.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. If you wish that you lived back in the 50s, I don't know. I think like...
So you can look forward to the modern age that you left behind?
Oh, yeah, that is weird.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, my bad.
I'll follow. Okay.
Congratulations to the man who has gone from rich to poor, for he has learned the fiscal world is not his to own.
That's valid.
That's good.
Yeah, that's valid.
And congratulations to the man who is standing on the hangman's gallows, for soon his pain will end. That sounds like...
Is this a suicide note?
No, it's because he just murdered somebody, and now he's at death row.
Mm, yeah, you could definitely rearrange this to be a murder.
Yeah,
this is the worst life story I've ever read.
Yeah. Like, and the, so, I'm glad you mentioned the Beatitudes at the mm-hmm. beginning, because he literally wrote an... earlier in this podcast, he wrote a little section about being... continuing to do what he's doing because he wants to save men. This dude's got a messiah complex.
He does. He really does.
Like, he literally tried to rewrite the Beatitudes.
Like, he could do it better than Jesus.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting.
Also, no women are congratulated in this poem.
Well, it's congratulations to be fair, it is a congratulations to men. I don't know where I was going with this.
I don't either.
I feel like I had a thought that was like a very thin...
What is attempt. Your deep... What is your deep thought, Cameron?
42.
Excellent.
Life, the universe, and everything?
It's deep thought.
But yeah, no women were congratulated in this. Like, not... Like, even if
only
his
men can
best,
have any of these experiences.
Even his best take... in this.
Women will never know the pleasure of watching a man die in your arms.
I would rather not.
Oh, man. But yeah, next time we'll be back with his takes on society.
We live in a society.
We live in a society.
Bottom text.
Yep, but that is that's all this week. Cameron. What are our pluggables?
All right. You can find us on Twitter at PageBurnersPod. You can also email us at PageBurnersPodcast@gmail.com. Please send us messages. I'm very lonely and insecure.
Aww.
Now, if I may plug something for you, you work with the Cupcake Girls quite a bit. I think that's a really great organization. I've donated to it in the past. And I honestly think if we're talking about misogyny and sexual abuse and just victims of rape, that's honestly a pretty good, like really cool charity that helps.
Yeah. So we work with sex workers and survivors of sex trafficking and help them get access to the resources they need to thrive in their lives. So whether that's like finding a way out of an abusive relationship or just finding a little extra help with getting your high school diploma or with getting rental assistance. So if you are as disgusted by all of these things as we're reading about as we are, and you want to help women live their best lives, then yeah, the Cupcake Girls is a good option. Look them up.
Definitely.
End of speech.
Awesome. I think that's a great thing to plug.
Yeah.
It's
a great organization. I love it.
Thank you. Well, I'm Jacob.
I'm Cameron.
I'm Brianne.
I got that right this time.
Yes.
Yeah, you got your name right.
I'm so proud that you understand your identity.
Aww. So proud of you. It's not easy.
Congratulations to this man.
You understand.
Congratulations to the man.
He knows his own name.